Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to Within Sights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
David Sucrose.
Join us
on a metaphysical,
holistic,
and intuitive journey.
The call-in number is 646-595-3440.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to withinsightsradio.com. This is the anchor show on withinsightsradio.com. I'm Iggy Garcia.
And I'm Adriana Arch.
And we are joined live here on the air with Adriana. And I believe Dave will be on a little bit later. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly how he's feeling. So he'll probably tune in here shortly. So wait for him. So
okay.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Very good today. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Fantastic. Just cruising right along on planet Earth and enjoying the ride.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how we pick up each other's mannerisms from people. You know, when people are together long enough, they start to pick up each other's mannerisms and a little bit of a little quirkiness there. I think David's on. Let me see if I can get him on here real quick.
Okay.
David, are you there?
Hello.
Hey,
hello
there.
There.
With his deep voice now.
I've got my deep, sexy voice on.
Hey, what's going on?
I've got some kind of a throat thing going on today, but that's okay, you know. I didn't want to miss the show. I wanted to kind of hang out with you guys and talk a little bit, so I'm pushing through it.
Sounds like you're... Your root chakra is compromising your throat chakra. So,
my chakras are all messed up.
Shaka Khan.
That's it.
You could keep drinking that tea with lemon and honey.
Yeah, that really helped. It did. You know, mm-hmm. It got me through the day. You know, I talk on the phone for a living, basically. And so I was worried about my voice today. But, a little honey, a little green tea, and I was all right. I got through it.
Very good.
Just what the lion ordered.
Yes, you must listen to the lion.
Yes, the lion does not lie.
Sometimes she purrs and sometimes she roars, but you know, I'll listen to her. Well, hey, what's on everybody's mind tonight? What do you guys want to talk about?
I just, like I said, I'm just time here hanging out with you guys, having a good time. Just, I know there's been a lot of galactic movement going on, according to Mark, and I don't know if I've really felt anything crazy in my universe, but everything's been pretty nice, you know. Everything's been, like, in a really steady beat, you know, steady flow, so I'm pretty happy with, you know, the way things have been happening. So, not much to report on my end about any crazy events or anything like that.
You haven't had any crazy dreams?
Mm-mm. You know, when you start to analyze your dreams, you start to realize they're really about you. So when you start to break down you, you start to say, okay, those are the things I have to work on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's some outside influences that always pop in your dreams. So other than that, you have to address those too. But
that's the crazy I'm talking about. The outside.
Well, that crazy? No, the only thing I can report, a couple of days ago I had a crazy dream, but that was like a battle going on in my head. It was obviously something, a battle going on in my own, you know, persona, and I couldn't find a way out. I was in this little maze inside my head, and every time I thought I had a way out, it got blocked by something else. I was never really in any danger in the sense of, you know, not escaping, but I just couldn't get out of this particular, like, war-torn scenario that was playing out in my dream. And everybody seemed to think that I had the answers to this great escape or whatever we were trying to do. It kind of reminded me like a Star Wars scenario, you know. And I had to wake up because it was just like kind of like, it was kind of exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only really crazy dream I've had in a while. Besides you stabbing me and killing me, but that's what...
Yeah, my dreams are always kind of crazy. It's like trying to describe them, and gets there's like multiple things going on, different storylines, and I don't know. Sometimes it's like surfing through through a Technicolor cartoon or something. I don't know. It's just kind of strange, but I always have lots of fun or adventures, at least, you know, in my dreams, so it's. I've always said that sometimes I hear people talking about, well, you know, I went and I had cookies at my grandmother's house, and she was, you know, for me, it's like I was riding the rocket sled, and then I was looking down and I saw, you know, these dolphins were there with the, you know, they, crazy stuff, you know, I'm just, I don't know.
At least you had dolphins.
Yeah, but, you were going to do some meditation, weren't you, today, and kind of just get do a universe check, kind of see what was going
on? Yeah, actually, well, yeah, I'll talk about that in a minute, but Adriana, anything you want to share about your dreams?
I was dreaming of some dark energies last week, and therefore I cleansed my home, as we have already mm-hmm. discussed on another show mm-hmm. last Wednesday, but... I tend to, I don't think all dreams are, you know, things going on in your mind that you're trying to work out. I strongly believe there are some outside influences that come into your night sleep. And, you know, they kind of show you sometimes the dark side of things and not necessarily of you. Sometimes they just mm-hmm. show you the dark side of things of the world or the other worlds. And so I tend to take dreams pretty serious when they physically affect me. And some of those dark energy dreams did, you know. So when I have one like that, I tend to do something about it. You're kind of at a weak point or at your weakest when you are asleep and unaware of this 3D plane and what's coming at you, even, you know, through other planes to this one. So you kind of need to protect yourself even before you go to sleep at night, which, you know, you can do it a number of ways, but prayer always works for me. And I always pray when I do pray. I always ask that if I am meant to know or see something, to show me in my dreams. So I really do pay attention to them. I've had dreams all of my life, and mine aren't nice and fun ones usually. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, when I have a dream, like I said, of something dark or along those lines trying to invade my home or attack me, then I wake up and I usually do something about it. So all is good.
Good, good.
Part of that spiritual warfare, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Sometimes I get some pretty good story ideas out of my dreams, too. I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking of one that I had a few nights ago about, I was in a city that was run by this artificial intelligence, and these people were, like, plotting against it or something. They wanted to free themselves from it, and come to find out, towards the end of the dream, I was kind of like an embodiment of that artificial intelligence outside of itself or something, and I had to enter into it and reunite with it somehow to make it become human again. I don't know. It was just really strange. It was, wow. I thought it was kind of cool. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
sometimes we can get inspired by that. And what I really like is when you meet people in dreams that are so fully formed, it's obvious that they're not really from your imagination. They're almost like independent people that, you know, have decided to dream this dream with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of where my meditation went today. It was kind of going into the places that we haven't created yet, which is kind of was kind of a strange meditation, because I was laying there going, you know, this is really odd. It was kind of, my ego was kind of like popping in and out in the beginning. Your ego kind of tries to defend you a little bit and tries to protect you. Then eventually, you know, I start, you know, just start let go. And eventually I just got really, you know, focused, and I had to actually cover my face, my eyes, because the sunlight was bothering me a little bit. It took me even deeper. But I got to see and I got to hear things about creating things that haven't been created yet. You know, for a long time, I've always been kind of the person who thought, you know, everything, there's nothing new under the sun, but there's even things that haven't even been thought of, you know, in the universe, because we're so individual, we're so unique to that creation, that even, you know, I'm not even sure if the Great Spirit has even manifested those ideas, because we are part of it. We're part of that Great Spirit, that, you know, the universal consciousness. But this meditation even took me further than that. And then it wasn't even about, well, it was actually a lot later in the day. I actually went back to my Facebook page to see if I had any messages. And a friend of mine had sent me a message. It was kind of along the same lines about, you know, that creation that hasn't been created yet, that each one of us creates constantly. And that's why the universe keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding, because it's supposed, technically, something explodes, everything has to come back to center at some point. Or everything's left in its, all the debris is left in its wake, you know, all the destruction. But that's not happening in the universe right now. You know, scientifically, they have proven that it's not, it's still expanding and still growing and exponentially, and it's creating more galaxies and universes. You know, I think Adriana and I talked about, you know, we have our own little place in the universe somewhere, some little planet or something. But then, you know, I start to think about, you know, that's what the Mormons, they think that, you know, that you get your own planet and stuff. So I'm thinking, okay, this is really interesting, you know. And I'm kind of like, wow, you know, this is really, you know, what is the truth? You know, so I'm thinking to myself, I woke up, I'm like, wow, what was that about, you know? You know, and the thoughts that ran to my head immediately were like, life is a game and you have to learn how to play it, and you have to think positive, and, you know, you attract everything that you have in your life. And, you know, and we have to work with the clay that we have sometimes. And if you think of a goldfish, like I was thinking of my goldfish, she just lives in that little container all her life. You know, in the beginning of her life, she was somewhere else, but now she's there until she dies, you know. And so our planet is kind of like that too. And I was thinking about what she thinks about every day at her conscious level, you know, what is just feeding, you know, existing. Because when she sits and rests, she's in meditation of some sorts. And she sleeps. So I was wondering what my little fish thinks sometimes, you know. And I think, and I'm just like my little fish. Sometimes I just, you know, there's nothing but, you know, looking up in the sky and not be able to go as far as I want sometimes. But that's kind of where my meditation took me. It wasn't anything bad or anything evil or anything like that. So I was happy about that.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. You're almost like you're seeing life through your goldfish, and in that universe. You know, as you were talking about the expanding universe, it reminded me that there's a new model of the universe that they've come up with that sounds quite plausible. You know how we talk about how the universe is not only expanding, it's gaining speed, it's actually increasing speed as it expands. Mm-hmm. Well, the model is, if you can imagine a donut, and everything is coming out from the middle of the donut, and it goes across every surface in every direction, and then it comes around and back under. You know, it gets sucked back into the middle of the donut and comes back out. You know, they're saying that could be a very possible model of the universe, in that would explain why everything's expanding now, because we're on that curve. That as we go past that curve, then everything speeds up, you know, and comes back together, and it, you know, kind of implodes again and comes back out to the top as a new expression of the universe. So I have no doubt that the universe is stranger than we can ever imagine. You know, just when we think we've got it figured out, we'll discover it's something different. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're going to be launching a new telescope in 2018, I believe it is, the James Webb Telescope, that will be able to see back to the original light from the Big Bang. So we'll be able to take a look at what happened at that moment. So that's going to be mind blowing, I'm sure. But that's not the end of it. That's really not the end of it, I don't think.
What do you think, Adriana?
I guess that's assuming you believe in the Big Bang.
Absolutely, yeah. Buddha said that the universe is infinite, it has no beginning and no end, you know, so it's already, he said that, so back 2,500 years ago.
Is it possible, you guys, to think that even God doesn't know what kind of creations will come from our mind?
You know, that's not out of the question for me. I don't put that kind of a limitation on universal consciousness or spirit, you know, that it's got everything figured out. I think it's kind of like, what would the fun be if you knew everything from the beginning? You know, what would the... Mm-hmm. What was the risk of creation in that? The creation is the interaction of all of us, all the parts of the puzzle moving together and being together and rippling off each other and, you know, becoming new things out of those things that, yeah, I'm sure, at least in my point of view, I'm sure that there's surprises that that even you know, God couldn't have predicted, you know, that happened. And I don't know, that works for me.
Yeah, I would have to say it works for me too, because it's just, in our mind, we probably don't think that's a plausible thing, because God should know everything. But yet God creates things to work out a certain way. You know, I think Adriana and I had a conversation about Adam and Eve like this, very similar mindset. You know, she had talked, well, I'll let Adriana tell the story. Why don't you tell the story about your brother's sermon? I thought it was kind of interesting. Then I'll put my 2 cents after that.
Well, I went to church a couple weeks ago because my brother was preaching his first sermon. And I found it very interesting. He actually started at the very beginning of the Bible with Adam and Eve. And it's kind of funny. He has a different sense of humor, and his humor actually came out as he was delivering his sermon. But he said, now let's take Eve. He said, you know, he said, she's really taken a lot of flack over the years. She gets blamed mm-hmm. for everything because she ate the apple. I had to kind of snicker, because that's true. Eve has definitely taken the blame for everything that's been wrong in the world because she ate the apple. However, my brother said, because Eve was deceived by the serpent. And, of course, the serpent being the devil, and he is the master deceiver. He said, I kind of disagree about throwing it all on her. He said, because Adam ate the apple, and Adam wasn't deceived by the serpent. Adam knew full well what the consequences was if he ate of that fruit, and he chose by his own free will to eat of the fruit anyway. So that was pretty much coming from a man. I was kind of surprised by that, but I wholeheartedly agreed.
Yeah, you know, nobody's to blame, really. You know, we all, it's part of human nature, I think, you know, and to be curious, to be wanting to know more, to reach out beyond what you're told is safe, you know. And, you know, I think of it as an allegory or a metaphor, but still, you know, if God put those two innocent beings in that Garden of Eden and gave them a tree that they weren't supposed to eat from, maybe he just wanted to see, you know, what grew from that, you know. Your kids need to grow beyond childhood, you know, so... That may have been part of our first steps towards becoming, you know, independent or, you know, growing on our own path, which has been painful. I'm sure, you know, that any higher being over us looking down on something that it loves, like God loves us, you know, it's going to go, oh, no, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of suffering, needless suffering down there. But those, they have to learn their lesson. You know, they have to eventually come to the point where they're not ruled by an omnipresent, you know, threat of always of damnation, and also come from their hearts and go, you know, this isn't right. We don't want to do this anymore to each other. When it comes to thinking about God and being, you know, a being that's above us, I always look at my relationship with my pet, Bo, you know, my dog. I call him my dog, but really he's my companion, you know. So I love him like my life, you know. I want to protect him and take care of him for the rest of his life, you know. He's part of my soul almost, you know. I love him that much. But I go and I do things that he doesn't understand. You know, every day I leave for work and he has no idea that I have to go there to earn money to pay for all the things that we have. You know, he just knows that I leave and I come back later and he's so happy to see me. Sometimes I take him with me and he probably thinks that I go and do that stuff all the time. You know, that I go out and, you know, play drums or whatever we go do, go to the park, you know. But sometimes I take him with me and sometimes I don't. So we kind of wonder the same thing about God, you know, where is God now, you know, in all of this, when we need him. But maybe God has things that we don't understand that are going on. You know, maybe there's a whole community of gods out there that he's got to live a life in, you know, or whatever. It's, you have to kind of think beyond our perspective and how would I explain to Bo in his current state that I need to go make money so we can support and live in this place that he just thinks is his home. You know, it's a, my mind kind of goes there, and I just go, okay, well, you know, there's going to be things we'll never understand about the universe and the way it works and why things happen the way they do, but there's always the love there. You know, there's always the love and the care and the support, in my mind anyway, in my heart, from the universe, that we stumble, we fall, we cry, we bleed, you know, we die, but the love never ends, so...
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Using Bo as an analogy, and understanding, not quite understanding, but knowing that there's more, but he doesn't see it like we see it. You see it,
yeah.
But he doesn't see it. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Well, thank you.
It's kind of like the movie I saw not too long ago. Was I forget the name of the movie? It was about Egyptian gods and stuff. They're so busy doing godly things that, you know, they forget about us sometimes, and they got to fight off their own demons and monsters, you know, in the universe. So it kind of gave them almost a human aspect of things. And I was thinking, like, you know, they're every day they're battling, you know, the darkness, so it stays at bay, so it doesn't consume everything. So, I mean, I guess you could look at God however you want to look at God or Goddess. I don't know. I just feel like, without getting into too much craziness, but I believe our universe is full of, you know, different types of energies and source and things that, you know, just work together and harmonize together to bring us things that we just can't explain. I know mythology is huge. You know, people believe that certain gods did certain things and they would worship to those gods and pay homage to them. You know, the Incas were a good example. They believed that the sun was a god. They gave thanks to the sun god because the sun came out every day. The sun, you know, gave life to the plants, you know, it gave them warmth during the day. And so, you know, it was logical for them to say, okay, this guy always shows up. And then the sister moon shows up at night, you know, sometimes. So that's just my take on it.
Well, when you pray, don't you pray to Sky Father and Earth Mother?
Mm-hmm.
Is that any different than really praying to the sun and the moon?
No, I acknowledge that there's a sky and there's a heaven and there's an earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because even knowing that I'm on this planet, I have to give thanks to this planet because it sustains me. It keeps me alive. Mm-hmm. And then I give thanks to the higher source, you know, God who's up there or everywhere within, you know, everything. You know, I give thanks to that. Then I give thanks to the Waiakan. You know, the thing, you know, the unseen forces, you know, the Holy Spirit, I guess, is a good example of that. the things mm-hmm. that does the miracles and works through us and creates the miracles. So,
yes, you're right. And opens our eyes to the fact that we are miracles. You know, it's amazing that, you know, we come from just a conglomeration of cells that came together that gets that spark of life, that gets that momentum going, you know, and grows and grows and grows and multiplies and becomes a human being inside of another human being, you know, and gets pushed out into the world and becomes independent and with a, you know, a mind experience, intelligence, emotions, psychic and spiritual connection to other dimensions. It's just, how can you not just go, wow, every day just go, that is, I can't believe I'm living a life like this where so many things are possible, you know, and just, wow, it's amazing. It truly is. The human experience, just to be here and to be like a bridge between worlds, you know. I tell people that I don't have, prior lifetime memories. I have pre-birth memories, and I just know. I know that I know that I know that I came from a dimension outside of this one where I believe all of us, you know, come from at one time or another and came into this world. You know, I carried some of that with me. I'm reminded sometimes along the way of what that world was like, you know, but I came here with a mission and a purpose, and I remember someone or something telling me just before I was born, not so much in words but in a feeling, that it was wrong to be selfish, something like that, something like it's wrong to be attached to the self. Don't be selfish. Don't get caught up in the self. That was the last message that I heard before I came into this world. So I've had that kind of always in the back of my mind, you know, and that's why I always want to be of service somehow, you know, and sure, I do selfish things and I behave selfishly at times, but that always, my heart always comes back to that message. So that's stayed with me.
Wow, that's great. That's an awesome. Also, I never knew that. Never, don't think I ever heard you say that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it kind of goes along.
Yeah,
with
I don't think I have.
Yeah, what's that, Adriana?
Yeah, I said I don't think I've heard that either. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Something you learned new about me tonight, then.
Yeah, there we go. I have a quote on my website, and it says, "We are but a speck on the timeline of life, but a powerful speck we are." You know, so it kind of goes along with what we've been talking about. You know, we may not think we're that significant, but we are significant. You know, in what we do and how we have influence and how we touch and the things we do in the world.
Absolutely.
And that world could be just be your family, and it could be the person right next to you. It doesn't have to be like a whole global revolution, you know, or something like that. It could be your dog, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. You're right, yeah. You know, I create the world for Bo. You know, he only knows, you know, the world that I have provided and created around him and expose him to and things like that. And in my heart, you know, I always want to bring him into good experiences, and he's never been abused or anything like that. So he totally trusts people and, you know, but he also is himself too, you know, and there's times when I pet him a little bit and he'll just kind of, you know, he'll get up and he'll go over somewhere else and he wants to be left alone. So, you know, he's got his own independent little streaks there too. He's not completely, you know, my pet or my, you know, my servant or whatever. You know, I don't teach him tricks because I want him to be himself. You know, I don't want him to have to perform for me, even though he's very intelligent. And he knows a couple of tricks because someone else had taught him, but he's himself, you know. And I think that's the way that that higher self, spirit, God wants us to be too, that wants us to be our own, true to ourselves, you know, and not just a puppet.
And here I thought Bo owned you. You know, he sends you off to work, buy food, take him for walks, give him an occasional bath. He sits there he watches TV when you're not home, you know, just scratching his dog.
Yeah, when he comes home, I'll take him for a walk, and, you know, he'll let me go wherever I want to go, pretty much, you know, so.
But when we think about it, you know, isn't that interesting how you created your little scenario and your little world? Is it possible that Bo actually created you as well into the scenario to honor and take care of him, even though you think you're taking care of him, it's really his life that you're actually catering to. You know, it's, I mean, when you were telling that story, I could just imagine Bo, like, just with in a different conscious level, in a whole different realm of thinking, you know, just saying, well, I wonder where my human's at. He's running a little bit late today. He must be with that crazy shaman guy, you know, doing a show, you know, kind of thing. I need to eat, so he needs to get here pretty soon. I'm going to have to call him on the phone.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. It reminds me of that picture that I made one time where I switched my head and Bo's head, you know, and it was, I was carrying Bo around in the picture, so suddenly it looks like he's carrying me around, you know, and so that's kind of a scene from another dimension.
And Adriana, you have the same scenario, kind of plays out with your dog, too.
Yeah. You know, I have a good story with my dog because I had just moved in here and I hadn't lived alone really for about 18 years until I moved in here. So that was kind of new and at the time almost scary for me. And at that time, because of my relationship that I had ended and walked away from, which, you know, I'd went through a lot of, not really physical abuse, but a lot of mental and some verbal abuse, you know, there at the end before I left. But I basically just felt like at that time in my life that, I guess I really felt just kind of abandoned. You know, I had done everything I could to make this thing work, and no matter what I did, it just wasn't good enough. And, you know, it just could be tossed away or given up in a blink of an eye. So that's kind of how I felt back then. And when I met Lever, she had been abandoned or something on an old country road down in kind of southern Ohio. And she was kind of the same way. She was really afraid at the time. And, I mean, she shook, visibly shook when I first laid eyes on her. And she was scared to death of people, and you could just tell she had been neglected and just kind of tossed away or something. And I related so much to her at that moment, first moment I looked at her. And I just picked her up, and I said, you know what, you're going home with me, and I promise I'll never leave you. And I've done everything I can to hopefully give her a good life.
I love your pictures of her.
Yeah. 4 years.
So beautiful.
She's my girl. She's my girl. But, you know, we both kind of have went through a lot together. Seeing how that's where we both were at that time of our lives. So she's every bit of my life, like you talk about Bo, David.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
She's my kid. She's my baby. She's mine, and she's my responsibility. And when I leave every morning, I look at her, I give her a treat, and I say, Mommy loves you, and I'm going to work, and I promise I'll be back. I'm not leaving you. I tell her that every day. And then when I come home, she's happy to see me.
Yep. I say just about the same thing to Bo when I leave in the morning, too, you know? But, and he's always there waiting in the window about when I get home, you know? I don't like to think he's sitting there all day, and I don't think he does, but he knows about the time that I'm going to get home. So he sits and he waits for me and watches for me. And before I'm even out of his car, I can hear him barking in the window.
Mm-hmm.
So that's loyalty, you know? That's what they know us, you know, they watch us and they observe us and they know our patterns and our habits. So
yep, they do.
You're listening to like, With Insights Radio, I Love My Dog segment.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
We're back to the Dog Channel. I want to thank you for tuning in. No, it's joking. No, I'm glad. I'm glad that you guys are sharing the commonality between yourselves about the dogs and the relationships that you know you have with them. I don't have that kind of relationship with my dog Bella. She's kind of independent and she kind of hangs out with Mamma. She's a smart dog. She hangs out with the ones that feed her. So.
Yeah. I know. Bella and I have a connection. I don't know. She loves when I come over and just. You know, she knows when I knock on the door on Monday night, she knows it's me. I can just tell by the way she's whining and everything. So maybe it's because I scratch her belly. I don't know.
I have a strong connection with my fish, you know, that sits in my tank.
Yeah.
She's very dependent on me, and I'm very dependent on her, I guess.
That's right. You know, I almost feel like we make a contract with the animals, the other animals that we bring into our lives. You know, I feel like there's a soul contract almost, you know, that at least I feel that way about the Bow and like you do about Lover Girl and you with your fish, Iggy. It's we've said, hey, you know, you're a part of my life. I'm a part of your life. I'm going to provide for you and love you and make sure you're safe and taken care of. And in return, you know, I just want to experience your presence and have you as a companion and as someone that I can, who will love me unconditionally, you know, and I can always trust. And you told me once before, Iggy, too, I think it was you, that animals often take on things for us as far as ailments, injuries, and things like that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's a very huge indigenous thing in my country. That animals will take on your sickness, your pain, and, you know, whatever's going on. Sometimes they'll die for you. Instead of you dying, they know if you're going to have a traumatic moment in your life, they'll actually take your place. And it's not rare for dogs or animals to die after an owner passes out of grief. But animals, no, they have a sixth sense about what's happening around you. They're there to protect you on a much higher plane than we could even imagine. You know, My other fish died, and I'm not sure why. But, you know, sometimes I wonder if, you know, my little fish took on some energy, some negativity or something, you know, in place of what was going to happen for me. There's these sacred contracts we don't understand. You know, for my fish, I get up every day and I feed her. You know, that's like, I don't even go to the bathroom first. I go and feed her first. That's like the first thing I do. And, you know, and she's waiting for me there. And, you know, when I go away or I'm gone for a long time, in a couple of days, whatever, you know, it kind of worries me about my fish because my fish has a different type of, we have a different bond, you know, I'm so connected to water. I love water. Even though I'm a fire sign, I love water because I'm from Peru and, you know, I love the beach and I love the ocean. She's a reminder for me, you know, that, you know, there's other ways to live. We don't just all breathe the air that's in the sky, you know. So, but yeah, David, that's true to answer your question. Yeah, and in my belief, in my culture, animals take on your pain, and they actually will die for you, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. You've seen dogs do that. You've seen animals defend their owners.
Sure,
I'm sure you run a clip or so around there. You've seen where they've done that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's true, and I've also heard of that where the dogs will, you know, like you say, die after their owner dies, like their life, their purpose is over. You know, they'll just. I think there was one story of a dog who just sat on his owner's grave until he died. You know, it was sad, but that shows that connection. You know, we sometimes have such a human-centric version of our world. You know, and we don't extend out to the other animals that are. The recognition of intelligence or the recognition of personality, the recognition of the soul or spirit, that they have too, you know, and I think we're coming around to that more, and people are starting to see that, you know, we're surrounded by all kinds of sentient beings that are have their own version of reality and their own things to teach us, and we can meet them as equals rather than trying to think of it as we're the dominant species and they're under us. You know, it's coming together of all life on this planet. At least I like to look forward to that.
I agree.
Maybe that's why more people are becoming vegetarian or vegan, you know, or, you know, at least honoring and respecting the animals that give their lives to keep us alive. I know, Iggy, when you are eating, you always give a small prayer before and blessing to all the beings that gave their lives for the food that you eat. I think that's very important.
It also changes the vibration, too, you know, so I can receive the parts that are important. Give thanks for that sacred contract. No matter what we do, those who eat meat and don't eat meat, we have a sacred contract with everything that we put in our body. And we have to acknowledge it, not take it for granted, you know, because it's super important. In my belief, it's super important to give thanks and to have gratitude for that. That we're here because other things have sacrificed themselves, you know. I mean, people look at vegetables and stuff. I mean, it's a different type of sacrifice, but it's still a sacrifice from the earth. It's a giving. It's a loving. You know, it's an honoring. And the cows that sacrifice themselves, you know, and rabbits and chickens, you know, that sacrifice themselves. You know, it's there could be a more humane way of doing things. I agree with that. But that's why I do that, because I know that these poor animals, you know, for some reason, you know, they're on that path. And I don't know why, and I can't really give you an answer for why they're in a particular path, but yet there are other cows and animals that don't have that same path. So there's some things that we just don't have answers to, just like there are human beings who are on another part of the world who are suffering, no water, no food, and they're just starving to death. But yet we're still here in Ohio and we watch from afar and we feel hopeless to do anything, you know, but yet our governments who have a lot of money and a lot of influence could help, but yet it's, for some reason they don't, you know, for some reason we don't intervene into those areas that where we need to help. And you know, I think about that. So when people tell me about the animals sacrificing, you know, we sacrifice humans as well by not doing anything to help them as well.
That's very true, you know. And I guess it just comes back to awareness again, you know, and understanding the interconnectedness of things and the fact that, you know, just because it happens over in that other country to someone else or something else, you know, it doesn't mean that it doesn't affect me, you know, in ways that I may or may not be aware of subtly or, you know, more dramatically, but it's that connection. We can't live in little boxes anymore. We can't separate ourselves out and go, well, at least it's not happening here, because it is going to happen here. It is happening here. You know, we just don't want to see it. You can only retreat so far into your house and into your bedroom and under your covers before you have to realize you can't run away from what's going on out in the world. You know, you have to be a part of it. You can't not be a part of it. So it's important to be aware and to do what you can, you know. And we can't do everything, but together we can do a lot, you know, if we would just focus on that.
Yeah, we're really thinking today. I can tell when we're pausing, we're thinking about what we just said, because, you know, as human beings, you know, I have to say, and I maybe I'm wrong, you guys correct me, we kind of get raised that it's our little world only sometimes, and it's our little families, and we have to take care of our family and take care of our this, and that. Eventually we break. Some families, you know, are accustomed to helping other families and volunteering and stuff, but I'm talking about, you know, when we're raised to just kind of work in our little circle, you know, our little bubble, you know, and then we get preached that, you know, well, if we can't help ourselves, we can't help anybody else, but yet that's been proven wrong over and over and over. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we get stuck in our own little spheres, and we don't move from them. We don't move out of them very, very much.
Yeah, I think you're right. The world's changed, too, but from when I was growing up, you know, my parents came from a world where, you know, World War II had just gotten over. They grew up through the Depression, so there was a lot of political shuffling going on, you know. Germany, the Nazis had tried to take over the world, you know, and America and some other countries had fought back. And so there was a lot of, it was very politically sensitive, you know. I grew up with the idea that the communists were the enemy and that they were going to take over America. And, you know, it was, but that didn't work out. So, you know, the communists just turned out to be just like us, pretty much. You know, they just wanted to secure some security for themselves and a place in the world. And, you know, I think we're moving into an era of where nations are beginning to take a back seat to the real power in the world, which is being exposed as corporations, money, influence. You know, the world's changed in that regard, is that nations aren't really so sovereign anymore as it is the power behind the throne, you know, is becoming out. And we really, you know, we here in, as citizens around the world of whatever country are the true power. We just don't have, we haven't taken that back for ourselves and gone, you know what, you guys couldn't exist without us. You know, we feed the machine every day when we buy this or we buy that, or we go to work here or we go to work there, you know, but we're not connected with each other enough yet to understand the power that comes from uniting and going, you know what, we don't think this is right and we don't want to change things. And, you know, you can't stop us. There's too many of us. Whether you want to drop a bomb on us or whatever, you know, we're still going to rise up and take back what we need to take back in order to return to a balance. But those days may never happen, or it may be a way off. But I think that our consciousness is starting to get stirred in that direction, where we know something's wrong. You know, we know something's not quite right. It's out of balance. But you know, we're a little bit lost as to what to do right now. What do? We vote for one of these candidate A or candidate B, you know, but really when you take the mask off, they're pretty much the same person. So we're going to have to find another way to make it work. So anyway, there's my political statement for the evening, I guess.
Adriana?
Well, living now is not much different than as it was when, like you said, David, growing up. We're still in a world that's, you know, just all about the politics and who has the strongest armies and who can go in and take over, you know, this country for their oil, their land, whatever. Those days really haven't changed. So we're still doing that. We do it on, we see it on a daily basis. All you got to do is turn your news on, and half of that's bullshit. So we're fed what they want us to see. So when you start turning off your TVs and, you know, really opening up your eyes, then you can kind of see things differently. And it can be a really, a rude awakening for people. It's a real rude awakening for people that have been raised as Christians all of their lives and, you know, had a certain belief in this faith. And then when you go and do some research on religion itself, you kind of get a rude awakening of where it all really stems from, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you said before, Iggy, you know, the Bible didn't come out for how many years till after Christ died. So how many people rewrote the transcripts and then people chose what to put in there and what to keep out. And, you know, I mean, you really have to look for yourself for a lot of answers. But your inner self will let you know what feels right, and your inner self will show you what's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So And that's my political statement for tonight.
She will stand by.
That's right.
Let's take a 30-second break, and we'll come right back. Okay, guys?
Okay.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm David Tucros.
I made your own.
Yes. First to Iggy. Come in, Iggy.
I'm back.
There you
hey
go.
There.
I don't know what happened. I think the topic that I was going to talk about, they didn't want me to talk about it. So Skype like completely bounced me out. So I went through the other channel. I have a back door, buddy. You can't stop this guy. I'm connected.
That's right.
I'm connected.
Right.
Stick that up your pie hole, buddy.
All right. Well,
do
hey, Iggy, I'm going to shift gears just a tad. And
there is no try.
Hello.
Sorry. What did you say?
I don't know. I said I was thinking about shifting gears a little bit. You had mentioned earlier about, or posted on Facebook about the Hadron Super Collider.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about, David. I was just going to talk about that. And everything went. My computer went. Everything went crazy. It disappeared.
Well, if it does that again to any of the listeners out there, stay tuned. We'll be back. Iggy will find another door.
That's right. To another dimension.
Hi, I'm Iggy number 539, and I've crossed into the parallel universe. Your Iggy that you were speaking with is no longer with us. He is someplace else. So I have taken his place temporarily to talk to you about parallel universes.
Well, welcome to our universe. I think it's our universe.
Yeah, I saw you with a Russian beret on earlier. So I was like, are we crossed universes? What happened? Is David my comrade now?
I've always been a communist. Don't you know that? No.
Here we go.
And I've always been a CIA informant, right? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
There we go.
Well, I'm not giving away my secrets.
No.
You'll just have to wonder.
But she does have a pool at her house. I was joking.
I don't think you are. She really does have a portal in her house.
She has a portal in her house.
But I thought how weird it would be. Some of the things. Of course, you know, we're talking about the CERN super collider there in Switzerland, and the things they can do with it, like they've discovered the boson Higgs boson particle. You know, they call it the God particle. They wanted to start getting to where they can open up dimensional portals and things like that. That's pretty scary stuff. I mean, when you think about it, we don't know what's out there or what's in there or, you know, what's living next to us. But a couple of things I thought about, first of all, was like, okay, what if our efforts to do that trigger some kind of interdimensional war, you know, where they go, hey, you're trying to get into our dimension and we don't like that, you know? So we start some sort of weird interdimensional war. Just because we were stupid enough to try to do that. And the other thing I thought, too, is how weird it would be if we had a parallel universe that merged with ours, so suddenly there's, like, duplicates of everybody. You know, there's another you, there's another me, there's another Adriana, there's another, you know, guy next door. And we're all wandering around like, where are we? You know, it's my world. No, it's my world.
It is possible. I do wake up in strange houses at times, and then I have to drive home. Well, I was waiting for
that's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Well, she found that funny, but okay.
Good excuse as any.
Blame it on the
Thank
super
you.
Collider, man.
Thank you, Super Collider. I really appreciate it. Got me out of that one. Why are you robbing this house? I'm not robbing this house. I popped up in here. I thought you were showering in the house. I am in the. I was going to. Someone's in the shower. Oh God! Could you imagine that? You just kind of walk into these dimensions, and all of a sudden you're like, there's two of you in the same house, and all of a sudden you're like, weren't you just taking a shower? No. Are you sure you're not in the shower? You know. I could have swore you were in the shower. No. That's hilarious. Well, the reason I brought this up, okay, the reason I brought this up because I found this fascinating, and this was a couple years ago when they were going to launch this thing off, and I really haven't heard anything what has happened, but the writing is on the wall a little bit. I have had people tell me that they've had lawsuits, their wives send lawsuits against them, and they're still married, and they don't know what this letter's about. It's kind of weird, and I see like a little weird stuff like that. I've seen people talk about people being in multiple places at the same time. Donald Trump is actually a legit candidate for office, so that's one of my big red flags, personally, in my opinion. You know, how did this guy, you know, how can in the universe that I lived in, anybody like this would be kind of laughed away, you know? But all of a sudden, he's just like, ooh, and then all these other people are kind of like, yeah, we like this guy. You know, I'm like, I don't know. So something's not right, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it can be little things, too. Like I've told you the story before about when I lived at the house out in Reynoldsburg, there was a certain way to lock the door. You know, it had one of those, it wasn't a key lock, it was more like a punch, a couple of buttons on the door lock, you know, and you had to do it whenever you walked out of the house. You couldn't just turn the lock itself, you know, the deadbolt lock. You'd have to push a little code and turn it, you know. And I woke up one day and went And you could just turn the lock. You didn't have to push the buttons. And suddenly I go to, you know, the other people in the house that are there, and I go, when did that change? And they were like, well, that's always been that way. And no. I'm the one who comes in and out of that door the most. I should know, you know. Suddenly it's different. Mm-hmm. And it's little things like that, you know, where, oh, okay, so now it's on this side of the room, or it's on that. The picture's over there. It's like I don't know what else it could be. It's like we have a friend who David Diamondhart, who talks about jumping timelines, you know, because he has all kinds of sacred geometry around him all the time. You know, he's just like absorbed in it. So I don't know. There might be something to that where, you know, we fall asleep in one dimension and we wake up in another one. I don't know.
I think I agree with that one.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you do, Adriana?
When we enter the dream state, I'm kind of in a different dimension at that point. So,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Get back to your life.
Go ahead.
We're listening.
No, get back to your glider. You brought it up. What do you think? I mean, do they even know what power that's going to unleash or what it's going to do when they, you know, turn it on? What is it? It just turns everything into this big ass vacuum, and we're all sucked in this hole. Come out, you know, somewhere in space and figure it out up there. I mean, what do you think will happen? What's the purpose?
Science. It's science.
I think we've already been sucked through.
Really?
This is the metaphysical portion of our show. This is the metaphysical portion. I'll repeat that again.
Yeah. Your reality may vary.
Yeah.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
You could wake up in that universe someday. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Well, it was a long, long time ago, so I guess we'd have to find it somehow.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, it's a lot about perspective. It's a lot about how we see our reality, and that certainly has changed. You know, I grew up through the 60s when people were experimenting with psychedelics and altered states of consciousness, you know, and understanding that reality as we experience it is a pretty plastic thing. You can mold it. It depends upon a lot of different factors to how you perceive it, you know, and that in itself was eye-opening, you know, because I think before that we pretty much just had the point of view that reality was solid. It was never changing. It operated on certain laws of physics that never were in doubt, that, you know, that one thing followed another, and very, very much a left brain kind of analytical engineering kind of way of looking at the world. But with the 60s, it became more right brained. It became more subjective. It became more, it's experiential, you know. Reality is what you experience it as, you know. One person's reality is different from mine. And so there's 7 mm-hmm. billion different realities going on in this world at the same time. So that's kind of a step into a larger world. But where do we go from there? You know, and how do we integrate that into our own experience of reality and where we're going? And what's next? I guess that's a good question, too.
Yeah, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Time keeps on slipping.
What'd you say, Iggy?
I said time keeps on slipping into the future.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah, you know, and but is that what time is? You know, time, the same moment that I was, you know, 10 years old is still out there, you know, here I am, you know, close to 58 years old, you know, and so mm-hmm. somewhere that same person exists, you know, and what if I could double back and be in that same moment, you know, what would happen? What would I, recognize myself? Would I be able to do that or
would
whatever?
You make the same choice? Would you make the same choice?
Yeah. Would I make
with
the same choice?
With the knowledge you have now. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd have to say probably not. You know, I would change some things going forward. You know, if I could see the result of what I did or didn't do back then and had that knowledge with me only in a 10-year-old body, I would do things differently. I would kick ass.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting, you know, your pivotal point of your life. You know, David, for example, if you went back and you knew that you could change something, would that make it right in the future? Would it make the events play out properly? Or was that choice that you didn't make, or that choice that you made in the past, make you where you are today, or put you in the position you are today and the place you are? So I don't know. It's kind of a catch-22 in that one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'd be different. I may not have the people in my life that I have in my life. I may not have, you know, some of the experiences that I relish and cherish, you know, in my life. But I would have made some better choices, I think, along the way. I would have taken things more seriously when they needed to be taken serious. Mm-hmm. I would have applied myself more to things that would have given a better fruit now in this older time in my life, you know. So not that I'm unhappy with the life I have. I'm very blessed. I'm very happy to have come here. I've always felt guided and protected, even at my stupidest times. You know, there's probably spirit guides and angels and ancestors that are going, oh, we kind of steer him away from this again. Come on, you know. And I'm just kind of, you know, kind of stumbling through life, kind of falling ass backwards into some pretty good situations. But really, you know, I feel like I've been guided. So this life has been good to me. But, you know, given the second chance, I think I have more potential to really demonstrate more of who I am to the world and have a greater, more positive effect. At least that's what I think, anyway, if I had a chance to go back and do it again.
How about you, Adriana?
I don't think we're meant to be able to go back and do anything over again. But I think the purpose of that is to be able to grow older and wiser and learn from those things that weren't necessarily the right choice at the time, and to get past them, learn from them, and grow from that experience. I've, you know, there's a lot of things I would change about my growing up years, but I'm not meant to change them. And if I wouldn't have went through those things, I wouldn't be who I am right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's taken me a long time, but I like who I am now. I'm comfortable with me. I know everything about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. They all exist. They all reside in me, the light, the dark. I'm in complete in touch with all of those things because of what I went through. The important thing is to learn from those things, you know, those choices that weren't always the wisest back then when you're young, or, you know, whatever is influencing you to try something different or experience something different. And then you experience it and say, oh, my God, what'd I do that for? Or I wish I'd never done that. But, you know, somewhere in there, there's a lesson that you learned, and, you know, you don't want to go back and do that again. It changed you somehow, and that's the important thing, that you learn from it. I don't think we're meant to experience things again, to go back and even see our own reality again, you know. I don't think that's what life's about. I think life's mm-hmm. about going forward all the time until we've went as far as we go on this plane or this parallel, and then we shoot into the next one. And then I think a whole other adventure awaits there. I wonder, though, when we go into that next one, do you have any of the memories of all the things that you've done from this life, this world, this
mm-hmm.
realm? Do you carry those memories and know going into the next one what doesn't work? You know, if we could figure out what didn't work all of our lives, then the world wouldn't be screwed up. We've done a really good job, all of us, of screwing up the world and letting others screw up the world. At least before we die, we're trying to make a difference and make it better, and try to make some kind of amends or to make people wake up and see things in a different view, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have a better shot at this life.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Iggy?
You know, can you go back in time? In different ways. Like, maybe you can't go back in, like, the science fiction way, but you can go back in time in the sense of recounting things about your life, and you can actually change those moments in time and experience them differently. Look at them in a way that, you know, okay, back then it was a very traumatic moment, or it was just a really happy moment, or whatever, lada, lada, lada. But I think you can go back in time in your mind and reconstruct the things and play them out in a different way, so it doesn't have to come across one way or the other. Our imagination is so powerful that when we create things in our imagination, you know, they almost seem real. And then those things actually become part of your memory. You know, the things you create in your imagination. You know, people have created personas about themselves since man's been here. You know, sometimes we have to pretend that we are something in order to become something. Sometimes a little kid will pretend to be president. No, I don't want to be president of the United States. So he'll plays out the presidential roles. Maybe not president of the United States, but maybe president of a company. But, you know, that's going back in time and reconstructing. So when we die, do we carry the memories of the things that happened to us back then? Some say yes. Some schools say yes. Some schools say no. I do believe genetically we carry back some parts of our ancestors through our lineage, through our blood, through our DNA. That's why it's there. It's recorded and it's moved through. They say it's about seven generations deep. at most of the time. I believe we can recount things if we're in the proper chance and a proper, you know, state of mind. And I don't know, it's kind of where what you resonate with. It's kind of where your heart is and what you believe in. And, you know, a past that you think is real may not even be real. It might just be something that the figment of your imagination has created. So I'm not sure. You know, I'm kind of mixed for both. So how about you, David?
Well, yeah, you know, thinking about the past, it seems the older I get, the more I remember, you know, the more I can put myself back in there. And I think my parents and my family would be surprised at some of the things I remember, you know. And the more I think about it, the more I can put myself back there and even try to see me through other people's eyes in that moment, you know, and tell what was I appearing as and how did I interact with them and, you know, what was their view of what I was doing, you know, and it really, it's a multifaceted thing. You really can get very caught up in all of it, you know, when you look at it like that. But I was thinking too about the movies, some of the movies that have come out about people who go back in the past and they end up trying to correct one thing and they end up causing even worse things down the road, you know, because every consequence, you know, there's a consequence to every action. So every action we do creates the next moment. And if you change that, you may think you're changing it for the better, but it ends up affecting something else. That I think a butterfly effect, that movie, for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was also another one called Almanac, where these kids invent a time machine and, you know, they go to these different places but in time. But he wants to win this girl's heart, you know, so he wants to go and correct the moment where he could have said something when he didn't, you know. And by doing that, he ends up, you know, causing the end of the world, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty heavy. You know, if we ever do invent time travel, maybe we have already, but if we ever, when we do, it's something we really shouldn't, because, you know, man has a tendency to put his fingers in the wrong pies, you know, and cause things to be worse than they were. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Get your finger out of my pie.
I like the analogy. It's just funny.
You pie poker, you.
Farmer Finger would be proud of you, David.
Yes, well, hey, I hang with him. He's cool. Yeah, you know, I love science as much as the next person, probably even more, because I really enjoyed watching Discovery through the things that we do. You know, that we can project ourselves down into almost the quantum level. We can look out until the edge of the universe. We can, you know, look inside the human body and see what a wonderful thing it is. We can, you know, we can really get a feel for the majesty and the mystery of the universe. But science is neither good nor bad. It's a tool, and what we do with it is, you know, is the determining factor. And we often turn over that science to military, to corporations, to things that don't always have our best interest as human beings in mind and in heart. So, I love it, but at the same time, I'm a little cautious about being overly enthusiastic with it. You know, and I think that there's a place for reserving ourselves a little bit and being humble a little bit before the universe and going, you know what, I'm not messing there because you've got that under control and I don't. So that's the way I look at science anyway.
Science.
Do you remember hearing, it's been I don't know how many years ago, where they were shooting holes in the moon? Do you remember hearing that?
Yes. Yes, they were trying to see if there was water under the polar caps on the moon, you know? Yeah, they're shooting bombs on the moon. I mean,
I don't know about you, but when I heard that, I about died that day. I mean, I literally just thought, why in the world would we ever do that? What is the reason for even doing that? Why would we do that?
I mean, because we ain't smart.
I was looking for the moon, you know. I'm like, do they want the moon to fall out of the sky? Let's just put a hole in something that you don't know nothing about, supposedly. You know, let's put a hole in there or two or three, and let's see if it just hangs up there, you know, after that. I mean, I was looking for the moon to fall out of the sky because I'm thinking, what the hell are you people doing? You know, and who gave you the right to shoot the moon?
I think that's important. Who gave you the right, and how stupid can we be? Well, we've proven that already. So.
That's terrifying.
That's right. I know. We put our fingers where they don't belong. You know, we think we know best, and that just cracks me up.
I think that's what reminded me of it, David.
Well, it's because the last time at the end of the show, she brought up something about poking holes and medicine and stuff, so I was like,
"Not
quit probing my crater."
Okay. Well, anyhow, you have a valid point, though. I mean, who gives us the right to, you know, do any of that stuff? I mean, who has the authorization? Why?
Don't you think they should have took a poll from the people to say, "Hey, do you guys mind if we shoot the moon?" I think they should have got someone else's opinion there.
Yeah. Well, you know what would happen? You know what would happen if they shot the moon and it cracked, it broke, or just blew up? It'd be kind of the end of us. Matter of fact, it would be the end of us.
Absolutely. You know,
explain why I was terrified then.
Right.
We'd all die. I mean, the tides, everything's under control. The things are controlled by the moon on this planet. You know, it's a big satellite.
It's there for a reason, people. Look at how the weather's changed since that happened.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to go back and find out when that was, and then go back and start look at the weather and weather-related catastrophes that happened after that.
I watched a show on what would happen if the moon disappeared, and if it just suddenly went whoop, out of existence. And we would have tsunamis, first of all, because of the tides would rush back to where they were, you know. And then the Earth would start turning on its orbit or its axis, so there would be no North and South Pole, really. It would just kind of be drifting around all the time. And, you know, for a while, you know, Pacific Ocean would be frozen, and then it would move over, you know. And it would be, life on Earth would be chaotic. It would be, we would not survive. Something under the ocean might survive, but it'd be the end of life on Earth as we know it, for sure. And it's all that. It's all because we're interrelated, you know. Who knows what those bombs did, or, you know, what the things that we're still doing are, you know. We've exploded so many hydrogen bombs under the Earth, you know, during the 50s and 60s that those things cause an effect, you know, and so we could be reaping some of the effects of that now too. We're arrogant and ignorant at the same time. We're the smartest idiots on this planet.
Yeah,
you're right.
And it just breaks my heart that the military is 10 years ahead of our technology, and there's so many things that can make our lives so much better and make life better for all the people of the world, but it's hoarded by the military.
Well, that's where all the money, that's where all of our hard money goes to. It doesn't go to helping to feed our poor or our homeless. It goes to building, you know, little stealth bombers and the underground facilities that Iggy sent a link earlier about. And, you know, it's all about that's where the power is.
Yeah.
And that power comes with, you know, our hard-earned slave wages that we make.
Yeah.
And you pay taxes every week out of your paycheck. They take their little share then. And then at the end of the year, you might be lucky to get a refund, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to pay a little bit more. You know?
Right. And then there's money that the government doesn't even know about that the military has. You know, in fact, on September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld was he was going to give a testimony the next day about $2 or $3 trillion that was missing out of the budget. But guess what happened? 9/11, you know, and everybody forgot about that. So there's definitely big black budget projects that, you know, who knows where that money is spent or where it came from, you know, as far as where, how they could have generated it through illegal activities. And there's just so much shadowness. And in an open government, an open society, that, that really shouldn't exist. But,
absolutely.
I don't know.
I want to encourage people to get out and vote primaries. If you already voted, great. If not, great. But I'm gonna, I want to pass out this message because I think it's important. If you're 17-year-old and you'll be 18 by November 8th, you can vote in the primary. So just thought I'd let you know that. That's some things that they don't let you, they don't want you to know.
Yes. They want you to feel powerless. And I'm glad you said that, Iggy, because some people have given up on voting and they've said that, well, you know, it's rigged anyway. It's going to be no matter what, you know. But still, we need to get out there and exercise that right and at least make a show of the fact that we care. Because when we stop caring, then they've won. You know, the people who want to rule without our input have won. So, yes, I'll be voting as well, and happy to do so.
Yeah, I really encourage that. You know, I know this is kind of a weird way to end a show, but I think it's important to be part of, involved in the process at some level. Even if you don't feel like your vote counts and you don't feel like voting, at least be involved in the process somehow, even by stating or sharing. I think some people protest, and that's the way they protest, by not voting, and that's okay. I personally don't hold that against anybody. And those of you who vote, you know, voting, in my opinion, voting is important. And the reason I know it's important is because there's this big panic in the world right now, in our little world called the USA. Even politicians and parties are nervous for certain candidates gaining momentum, and other parties are upset because they're not getting heard. So there's obviously things going on, you know, to undermine the system, undermine us personally as the people who are here. I'm one of those big proponents who's really against delegates, superdelegates, and electoral college. I believe it should be something very populist where everybody decides as a people, you know, what's best for them. We gave away our power to, you know, congressional leaders and senatorial leaders to, you know, do our bidding and do our work. But you know what? That's obviously been proven that, you know, most millionaires are the guys running for office anymore, and they're only feeding their own interests. So there's going to be a problem. There's going to be something that comes from this. And I encourage people to, you know, be more active. And I think it's starting to happen. I think this is going to be one of the most contested elections, something where people are going to really come out in droves and vote. I really see that happening, and I hope that happens, because the only way we make a difference, or at least attempt to make a difference or make it look better for us, is for us to be part of, be involved in the political system at some level. Even if you tell somebody,
amen,
you don't like that guy.
Yeah, I'm into that.
That's from Spider-Man. Spider-Man told me to say that. He's like,
all right.
Hey, kid. Any closing thoughts, guys? Anything you want to close with, David?
No, I'll let somebody else go first. I want to think about it for a minute.
Adriana?
Well, whatever it is you're going through or feeling in your life right now, know that you yourself can actually go out there and make a difference. And try to keep your chin up. Try to keep the blinders off of your eyes and see things for how they really are. And look at what's really going on around you, because it does involve you and your life and the lives of your family.
Very good.
And keep your fingers out of other people's pies, too.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't know why. I just had this feeling David was going to say that.
Because we've been here before. This is another dimension that we've been in. So, yeah, well, so my closing thought is this. You know, There's such. We're here at this point in time in this dimension. No matter how we got here, no matter where we're going, no matter where we, you know, came from, and all the influences that made us, we're here now, you know. And we've talked tonight about going back in time and changing things, or you know, living other lives at other times and things. But what's really important right now is here and now. And when you wake up every day, just know that you make a difference. You know, just know that you have an influence. Know that you can. Change you, anything about yourself you want. You're not helpless. You're not hopeless. You're not powerless. You know, the illusion is that you are, but you aren't. You are the power. So exercise that power and you move forward through your day, through this time that we have chosen to be in, and love the things around you. Love every being around you. They may not show you a face that you think is lovable, but they're still worth being loved. So be a part. Be a part of it all. You know, don't run away in fear. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's just life. There's a very famous comedian, Bill Hicks, who said, "Hey, it's just a ride." You know, you can think it. You can take it seriously, and you can think, "Oh, this is affecting me, and you know, my finances, and you know." But really, just let it go, because all that stuff goes away. What's left at the end of the ride is the experience. It's what you gave into it. It's the love you felt, the love you gave, and the fact that you were here. So anyway, just be happy, be here, be healthy, and be blessed. I love you.
Awesome. Thank you both.
Thank you.
I don't know if I can top that. I think my statement was in the before yours. So, but I want to thank you guys for being on the show with me personally. You know, I know you both, you know, dearly. I love you both dearly. You guys have changed my life, and so. To the better, for the better, and I'm very grateful for that. And I'm looking forward to seeing more adventures with both of you, together or individually, and sharing with the other folks that we know as well. And so I think that's what life is—an adventure, like you said, being with the people you love. And you know, you have a family of choice that you can pick. You know, sometimes the family that was, you know, given to you by spirit, you know, in the sense of birthright, you know, families, they don't always jive with you, and that's okay, but they love you and you love them. But the family of choice that I have, the family choice that you've created, I've created, is very special to me. And, you know, I'm glad that they're in my life, and I don't know where my life would be like if I didn't have them. I'm sure it would be goofy as I am and funny as I am sometimes. So you guys just make it more, you enhance it more. So I'm grateful for both of you and everybody who is associated in some way or another with me and my friends. So just enjoy the ride. And thank you guys. Appreciate it.
No, we love you too.
Yes,
okay, folks,
do.
I want to thank you, Adriana. Okay. So folks, our show lineup for this week is Thursday at 7 PM. Monty's messages. So she'll be sharing her messages with you, and then Mudto at midnight. And I believe there might be a show this Sunday with Mark. I'll let everybody know. A special edition to gear up for Super Tuesday. So I'll let everybody know. Keep in touch. We do have a website at withinsightsradio.com. Please visit it. We have a newsletter there you can sign up to. You can kind of meet us all individually on that site and get to read a little bit about the things we write about, the things we share in the works we do. So with that, I want to say thank you very much to everybody. Tune in next week on the same time at 7 p.m. at withinsightsradio.com. We hope you enjoyed the show. Leave us a message at withinsightsradio.com. We would like to hear your feedback. What would you like to hear on our shows? What topics you want to talk about? And with that, I guess it's a wrap, guys.
All right. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Right. Ho'oponopono. Much love.